Hey everyone, ready for another deep dive? Today we're tackling this source you sent in called Attitude is Key.
Ooh, I love that title.
It's all about the power of, well, attitude, but we're going beyond just like, you know, think positive and stuff.
Right.
We're gonna dig into the actual science behind how our attitude shapes like everything we do.
So interesting.
And get this, the book even claims that being grateful can help you be more successful. Who knew?
Really? I'm intrigued.
Let's find out why. So what really stood out to me right away was how the book breaks down attitude into these three parts.
Okay.
It's almost like a recipe, you know. You've got the affective part,
mm-hmm.
which is like your emotions and feelings. Then there's the behavioral part, which is, well, how you act.
Right. That makes sense.
And then the third part, this is the one that I was like, whoa, it's the cognitive part.
Okay. So that's like what?
Our thoughts.
It's like our deepest beliefs.
You know?
The things we hold to be true about ourselves and the world.
Those deep-seated beliefs.
Right.
Yeah. And the book argues that this cognitive part can really make or break us.
Oh, I can see that.
Like, they use this example of the fear of failure. And I think we've all felt that at some point.
Definitely.
Let's say you have to, I don't know, give a presentation at work.
Yeah.
You might instantly feel that dread. Oh, no, I hope I don't mess this up.
Totally. That pit in your stomach feeling.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the effective part. But if you also have this like deep-seated belief that failing means you're incompetent.
Oh, yeah.
That's the cognitive part really taking hold.
Right. Like adding fuel to the fire.
And then that belief shapes your behavior. You might procrastinate on preparing.
Oh, for sure.
Or you might over-prepare to the point of like total exhaustion.
Just to avoid that perceived failure.
All because of that underlying fear, you know?
Wow, yeah, I'm seeing how this all connects.
And the cool thing is, the book actually digs into how we can change these beliefs.
Okay, so how do we do that?
It's all about rewiring our brains for, well, positivity. And one of the biggest tools they talk about is self-talk.
Self-talk, like talking to yourself.
I know. It sounds a little cheesy, right? Like affirmations in the mirror.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
But the book goes way deeper than that. It explains how consistent positive self-talk can actually create new neural pathways in your brain.
Wait, really? So it's not just like a motivational trick.
It's like building mental muscles.
Yeah.
The more you consciously replace those negative thoughts like, I'm not good enough.
Right.
With thoughts like, I'm capable of handling this, the more your brain starts to naturally default to that positive outlook.
So it's about retraining our brains to think differently.
Exactly. And it's not about denying the negative thoughts. It's about actively countering them.
That makes sense.
So it's like a battle of the thoughts.
Kind of. But it's about choosing thoughts that empower you, not drag you down.
Okay, so self-talk is a biggie. But the book also talks about mindfulness and meditation.
Mindfulness, huh? I've tried that, but I'm not sure I totally get it.
I used to think it was kind of woo-woo, too.
Yeah.
But the book explains it in a way that makes total sense. Like, it's not about sitting on a mountaintop for hours, you know?
Right.
It's about bringing awareness to everyday moments. Like, just taking a few minutes to really focus on your breath.
Right, okay.
To notice your body and just be present with your thoughts.
So it's about being more in the moment.
Exactly. And there are studies that show mindfulness can help you manage stress and make better decisions.
Wow. I didn't realize it was backed by science.
It's pretty cool stuff. And it can also help you catch those negative thought patterns before they, like, take over.
Oh, yeah. I need that.
So instead of spiraling down that I'm a failure rabbit hole.
Right. So wait.
You hit the pause button. You say, okay, this is just a thought. It's not necessarily true.
So you create some space.
Exactly. And then you can choose a more helpful response. And you know what else is super powerful?
What?
Gratitude.
Oh, gratitude, yes.
But the book doesn't just say be grateful. It explains the science behind how gratitude affects your brain.
Okay, so, like, how does it work?
Well, it actually changes your brain chemistry.
Yeah.
And it helps you focus on solutions, not just problems.
So it's not just about feeling good. It actually helps you think better.
Exactly. And there are some, like, tangible benefits, too. The book mentions a study where people who practice gratitude were more optimistic.
Uh-huh.
And they were also more likely to achieve their goals.
Wow, that's pretty amazing.
Right. So how do we actually cultivate gratitude, especially when life gets tough?
Good question.
Because sometimes it's hard to find things to be grateful for, you know?
I know.
Well, the book suggests a gratitude journal. Just write down a few things you're thankful for every day, no matter how small.
Like what kinds of things?
It could be anything. A sunny day, a good cup of coffee, a nice conversation with a friend.
Oh, I like that.
It's about shifting your focus to the positive, even when things are tough. and that can make a huge difference in how you feel.
It sounds so simple, but powerful.
Right. But even with gratitude and all that, what about those like really deep negative thoughts that just keep coming back?
Oh yeah, those are tough.
The ones that feel impossible to shake. The book has a step-by-step process for tackling those.
Okay, tell me more.
And it all starts with identifying them and writing them down.
So get them out of your head.
Yeah, like exercise those demons.
I like that.
It's the first step to actually gaining control over them.
Makes sense.
Because honestly, the more I try to push those thoughts away, the louder they get.
Oh, I totally relate to that.
It's like they're saying, hey, pay attention to me.
Exactly.
So by writing them down, you can see them for what they are. You start to notice patterns, like what triggers those thoughts.
Oh, so you can identify the problem areas.
Exactly. And then the book introduces this idea of a mindful pause.
A mindful pause. What's that?
It's like hitting the brakes on autopilot, you know? It's about training yourself to become aware of those negative thoughts.
Like as they're happening.
Yeah, instead of just blindly reacting to them, it gives you this split second where you can choose a different path.
Okay, so you create a moment for conscious choice.
That's it. But then the question is, how do we actually shift from that negative thought to a more positive one?
Right, like what's the next step?
That's where the book talks about the positive self-talk counterattack. Basically, having tools to challenge and replace those negative thoughts with more helpful ones.
Oh, so it's like having a mental toolbox.
Exactly. And the book gives some really great examples.
Of what?
Like, let's say your negative thought is, I'm a failure.
Yeah, I've definitely been there.
The book suggests transforming that thought into something like, I'm still learning and I'll keep trying.
So it's about changing the narrative.
It's about shifting from a fixed mindset to a growth mindset.
Oh, I've heard of that. Isn't that about seeing challenges as opportunities to learn?
Exactly. It's about embracing the journey, not just focusing on the end goal.
So it's like instead of I can't, it's I can't yet.
Yes. It's such a small shift in language, but it creates a whole different feeling.
That's so cool.
And the book gives tons of techniques like that. It's all about becoming more aware of your thoughts.
And choosing ones that help you, not hurt you.
Right. But you know, I feel like we're just scratching the surface here. There's so much more to this book.
Yeah, it seems like there's a lot to unpack.
There is. But I think we've covered a lot of ground for today. Maybe we should give our listeners a chance to absorb all this.
Yeah, good idea. We can always pick it up again next time.
We'll dive even deeper into Attitude is Key in our next episode.
Sounds good. You know, as I was reading through Attitude is Key, I was struck by how much our attitude affects our productivity.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's like when you're feeling good, things just seem to flow, you know?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But the book takes it a step further.
Oh.
It explains how negativity can actually, like, drain our energy and make it harder to get things done.
It's true. When you're feeling down, it's like everything is an uphill battle.
Right. The book even compares it to running a marathon with a backpack full of rocks.
Oh, I like that. That's a great visual.
And it really highlights how much lighter and easier things feel when we have a positive mindset.
So it's not just about feeling good. It's about actually getting stuff done.
Right. And the book talks about how negativity can become a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Okay. What do you mean by that?
Well, if you start a task thinking, I can't do this, you're probably right.
You're setting yourself up for failure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But if you approach it with a can-do attitude, you're more likely to find a way to make it work.
So it's about believing in yourself and your ability to succeed.
Exactly. But, you know, let's be real. There are days when staying positive feels impossible.
Oh, yeah, totally. Some days it's like the universe is conspiring against you.
Right. And in those moments, it can be hard to remember all those tools we talked about.
Mm.
Self-talk, mindfulness, gratitude.
Yeah, it's easy to forget about them when you're stressed or overwhelmed.
Exactly. But that's why it's so important to practice those techniques regularly so they become second nature.
So it's like building a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it gets.
Exactly. And Attitude is Key suggests doing regular check-ins throughout the day.
Hmm.
Just pause for a moment.
Okay.
Ask yourself, how am I feeling right now? You know, what do I need?
Oh, I like that. It's like a mini self-care intervention.
Exactly. And self-care isn't selfish. It's essential for maintaining a positive attitude.
Right, because you can't pour from an empty cup.
Exactly. You need to fill your own cup first so you have something to give.
And you know, I think our attitude also plays a big role in our relationships. Have you noticed that?
Oh, absolutely. The book talks about how positivity can be contagious.
Yeah, like if you're around someone who's always upbeat, it's hard not to feel a little bit brighter yourself.
Right. And on the flip side, negativity can be contagious too.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
It's like if you're around someone who's constantly complaining, it can really bring you down.
That's why the book emphasizes the importance of surrounding yourself with positive people, your positive tribe, as it calls them.
Oh, I like that.
Spend time with people who lift you up, who encourage you, who share your values.
Makes sense. But what about those times when you can't choose who you're interacting with? Like at work, for example. Not everyone is going to be positive all the time.
That's true.
Yeah.
And that's where the book's advice on not taking things personally becomes so important.
Oh, yeah. That's a tough one.
It is. But it's about recognizing that other people's negativity is often a reflection of their own struggles, not a judgment on you.
I guess that's true. It's easy to internalize other people's bad moods and take it personally.
Right. And the book reminds us that we have a choice in how we respond. We can get sucked into that negativity, or we can choose to let it go.
Easier said than done sometimes, though.
It definitely takes practice. But the more we can focus on what we can control, our own thoughts and actions, the less power other people's negativity has over us.
That's a good point. So it's about creating that inner peace and positivity that can withstand the storms, so to speak.
Exactly. It's like building a strong foundation that can weather any storm.
And, you know, one of the most empowering things about Attitude is Key is how much it emphasizes choice. We may not always be able to control what happens to us, but we can control how we respond.
I love that. That's so true. Our attitude is ultimately a choice.
And that's incredibly powerful. It's like we're the architects of our own reality, and our attitude is the blueprint.
Beautifully said.
Yeah.
And Attitude is Key provides us with the tools to design that blueprint and build a reality that we love.
That's a great way to put it. Okay, so we've talked about a lot of different strategies for cultivating a more positive attitude, but before we move on, I want to circle back to something that really intrigued me. The idea of following your fear.
Oh, yes. That's such a powerful concept.
It seems counterintuitive, right? Like, usually we try to avoid the things that scare us.
Right. But the book argues that leaning into our fears can actually be one of the most powerful ways to grow.
Okay, so how does that work?
Well, the book suggests that fear is often a signpost. It's pointing us towards areas where we need to grow and expand.
So it's like fear is a guide, not an enemy.
Exactly. And those things we're most afraid of are often the very things that will help us become our best selves.
Oh, I see. So it's like if something scares you, that might be a sign that you should do it.
It might be.
Yeah.
Of course, we need to use our judgment and make sure we're not putting ourselves in any real danger. But often those things that scare us also hold the greatest potential for growth.
Makes sense. It reminds me of that quote by Eleanor Roosevelt, "Do one thing every day that scares you."
Yes, that's a great one. And Attitude is Key gives us some practical steps for facing our fears.
Okay, I'm all ears.
Well, it starts with breaking those big, scary goals down into smaller, more manageable steps.
So it's about making the fear less overwhelming, like taking baby steps.
Exactly. And it's also important to use positive self-talk. Instead of saying, "I can't," tell yourself, "I can try," or "I'm willing to learn."
Oh, that's good. And what about reaching out for support?
Yeah.
Like talking to friends or family about our fears?
Yes, that's a great idea. The book emphasizes the importance of our positive tribe. Don't be afraid to reach out to those who love and support you.
There's strength in numbers, right?
Exactly. And don't forget to celebrate those small wins along the way. Each time you face a fear and come out on the other side, it builds your resilience and momentum.
It's like you're proving to yourself that you can do hard things.
Exactly. And that's a powerful feeling.
And I love what the book says about reframing fear as excitement. It's like seeing challenges as opportunities rather than threats.
It's such a subtle shift in perspective that it can make all the difference. When we approach challenges with a sense of excitement and possibility, we tap into a whole new level of energy and motivation.
It's like unlocking a hidden power within ourselves.
Yes, exactly.
And you know, another thing that really stood out to me in Attitude is Key is this idea that our attitude is not just about us, it's about the world around us.
Oh, I love that. It's like recognizing that we're all interconnected.
Right. It's about understanding that our individual attitudes can actually contribute to creating a more positive and harmonious world.
See, it's a beautiful thought, isn't it? That something as simple as our attitude can have such a ripple effect.
It really is. Okay, well, we've covered so much ground in this deep dive. I feel like we could talk about attitude for hours.
Me too. There's so much to explore.
There is. But I think we've given our listeners a lot to chew on for now.
Definitely.
We'll continue our exploration of Attitude is Key in our next episode, where we'll delve even deeper into the power of gratitude.
Can't wait.
Until then, Keep pondering these ideas and see how you can apply them to your own life.
Okay, we're back. Ready to wrap up our deep dive into Attitude is Key.
I'm ready.
You know, throughout this whole conversation, one thing that keeps coming up again and again is gratitude.
It's true. Gratitude is like a golden thread woven throughout the whole book.
It really is. And I have to say, I've been really struck by how powerful gratitude actually is. It's more than just a nice feeling, isn't it?
So much more. The book goes deep into the research on gratitude.
Oh yeah, there's tons of it.
And it turns out gratitude can actually impact our health, our relationships, even our success at work.
It's amazing. It's like this secret ingredient for a happier, healthier, more successful life.
I know. I had no idea it was so impactful.
Right. And what's really cool is that anyone can cultivate gratitude.
That's the best part.
The book lays out all these simple practices, like keeping a gratitude journal.
Oh, I love that idea.
Just jot down a few things you're grateful for each day.
It sounds so easy.
It is. And it's incredibly powerful.
Why is that?
Well, it helps shift our focus. Instead of dwelling on what's missing, we start noticing all the good things we already have.
It's like training our brains to see the positive, even when things are tough.
Exactly. And that shift in perspective can make a world of difference. We start feeling more content, more optimistic, more resilient.
It's like choosing to see the glass half full instead of half empty.
Yes. And all those positive feelings create this upward spiral. We have more energy, more motivation, more creativity.
It's like gratitude is the fuel for a more fulfilling life.
I love that. And it all comes back to choice, doesn't it?
Totally. We can choose to dwell on negativity.
Or we can choose gratitude.
And it's that choice that shapes our entire experience.
Absolutely. And speaking of choice, we should talk about those negative thought patterns.
Oh, those are the worst. They can really drag us down.
But the good news is, we don't have to be victims of our thoughts.
We have a choice.
Exactly. And Attitude is Key gives us all these strategies for breaking free.
So it's not about ignoring those negative thoughts.
It's about recognizing them as they arise.
Becoming aware.
Right. And then actively challenging them.
Asking ourselves, is this thought really true?
Exactly. And then the key is to replace those negative thoughts with more positive ones.
So it's about creating a more supportive inner dialogue.
It's like becoming our own best friend.
I love that. Cheering ourselves on instead of putting ourselves down.
Yes. And it's important to remember, this is a process.
It takes time.
And practice. But with persistence, we can really rewire our brains for positivity.
And as we shift our inner world, it impacts our outer world, too.
Our relationships improve, our work becomes more fulfilling, and we just generally feel happier and more at peace.
It's like that ripple effect, right? The change starts within us but spreads outward.
Exactly. It's about recognizing that we have the power to make a difference, not just in our own lives, but in the world around us.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into Attitude is Key, what's the one message you want our listeners to take away?
You have the power to choose your attitude, and that choice can transform your entire life.
That's a powerful message. It's about realizing that we're not at the mercy of our circumstances. We have the power to choose how we respond, how we feel, how we show up in the world.
Absolutely. And when we choose a positive attitude, the possibilities are limitless.
Well said. Thank you so much for joining us on this incredible journey through Attitude is Key.
It's been a pleasure.
I hope you found it as insightful and inspiring as we have.
Me too.
And remember, even the smallest shift in perspective can make a world of difference.
Absolutely.
So until next time, keep cultivating that positive attitude and watch amazing things unfold.